We have come to listen to his word again. And today, we'll be talking about how to deal with sinful speech. And we pray that at the end of the sermon, God will help us to identify speeches that are sinful in his sight and how best we can work on ourselves to stop using them, to do away with them. Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you once more. We bless your holy name for this opportunity to gather again in your house and to hear your word. Father, we pray for a listening heart. We pray for your spirit to take over everything here, O Lord. I pray also for clarity of speech, that everything that comes from me shall be inspired by you. And for the recipient, we pray that, Father, prepare their heart, that the word shall be put into good use. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Okay. We are continuing with a series of the books of Proverbs. And earlier speakers established the essence of Proverbs, the wisdom of King Solomon that he has put down onto us, and the instructions that he has given unto us. And one thing that the book talks about mostly is wisdom. Because in everything, we have to apply wisdom, not only wisdom, but godly wisdom. It is easier to acquire knowledge and you understand a situation, but the wisdom to apply it is something that we keep on praying for. So today the wisdom will be about how we can control our speeches, how we can control ourselves not to be involved in gossiping, not to be involved in slanders, not to be involved in complaining. Those things are things that God frowns face on. So our memory verse is taken from Proverbs 4:24. I think we can take it together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. We have to try our possible best to put away every sort of devious speeches, every sort of sinful speeches, every speech that God frowns face on. But one thing is, it's not all speeches that are evil. There are speeches that are good. There are speeches that are evil. And also, when talking about somebody to someone, we always take it as a gossip. But it is not all the time that we see them as a gossip. But sometimes we see them as a way to try to understand some situations or even to compliment some people. We remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he was telling them about how great John the Baptist is. Jesus was talking to the disciple about how great John the Baptist is. That is one person talking to another person about somebody else. And we cannot classify that as a gossip. Another one is when Jesus resurrected and the woman ran to the tomb. The angel told her to go and tell the apostles that he has risen. So there are so many circumstances that we try to talk about somebody to another person, and people may take it as gossip, or we are talking evil about the other person. Sometimes it can be something evil or something very good. In the case of Jesus talking about John the Baptist, he was talking about something great about John the Baptist. In another instance, Paul was telling the church in Galant about the sins that Peter committed. That was when Peter was eating unclean food, and later on he pretended as if he was not involved in those things. So in a way, it is a hypocrisy. But Paul was telling the church to explain some things to them, that this is what he did. Not backbiting him, but trying to explain situations to them. And this one is talking evil or bad, somebody's bad to another person. But what Paul did was that he spoke to Peter himself about it before he's bringing it to the congregation. The same way when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, he reprimanded them about things that they do or evil things that they did. And when they left, he continued talking to the apostles about those evil things that they were doing. So in some situations, somebody may do something or might have done something, and you find it difficult to approach the person directly, but you talk to another person about it, maybe for that person to give you wisdom to approach the situation, or that person to help you to see how best you can tackle that particular issue. But mostly, it is good to pray for wisdom from God so that you may not involve a third party. Now, let's see what God says about these evil speeches. When God was giving the commandments to Moses, the Bible let us know that he gave him 10. And out of those 10, 2 are about our speeches and our tongue. Statisticians will tell us that 20% of the commandments directly talk about our speeches. Then the first one, that is the third commandment, reads, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." That is more or less about swearing. Something more happens and you shout that you swear God, you didn't do it. Or you'll be using the name of God anyhow you want. And the other one, that is the ninth commandment, says, "You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness." That is, we should not bear wrong witness. Sometimes we are so envious about people that once they are involved in any issue, then you think it is a payback time. So everything that person did, you want to show him. Then you come out and start saying things that are never true about the person. Maybe they ask about your view. Let's say the person is going for a position or something else, and they ask for a recommendation or a view from you, and you realize that that person was not good to you, so this is the time to pay him back. Then you start saying things that are never true about the person. You bear witness, but everything that you say is false. So God frowns on some of those things or on all those speeches. And in the book of Leviticus, God was telling Moses that anybody caught in such situation should be brought out. Then those people who heard him talking about that should put their hands on the head and the person be stoned. That was in the Old Testament. Meaning is something that God wants us to avoid. God never wants us to indulge in some of those things, gossiping, backbiting, slandering, and what have you. Now, Jesus also made mention of it in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words will you be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So every speech that comes from us, the Bible wants us to control it, to check it, and even first of all, before you speak, you put yourself in the shoes of the receiver. If somebody directs that speech to you, how will you feel before you direct it to another person? Because on the day of judgment, God says that, or the Bible tells us that we have to account for all the speeches that we made, all the gossiping, all the false witnesses that we gave. Our speeches can give us out easily. And the speech is not only what you say, but your acts as well. Your actions and your inactions. You're supposed to advise somebody, or somebody is in a dilemma, and instead of giving the person a good advice, you give the person a wrong advice, and it leads the person into temptations. Even though you are trying to do something, but the motive with which you are doing it is not the right one. Most of us do those things most of the time. We try to mislead people so that the situation we found ourselves in the past, they should also go through that one before they get to where we are today, which the Bible discourages us from. Now, in Solomon also in his wisdom told us about some things that God hates. And he says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abominations. And all those things are directly or indirectly related to our speeches. Now, the first one says a haughty eye, but the New King James Version talks about a proud look. You think you are the best in everything, or we think we are the best in everything, and nobody can get closer to us. We feel proud in everything that we do. In our eyes, there is nothing that we cannot do, and there is nothing that nobody can do to get closer to us. And once somebody tries to get closer to us or to achieve something, then we start becoming envious, because it is not us who did it, then no one else. But we forget that God has given grace unto many people, and his favor is upon so many people to do things that people will think are not doable. In many situations, God will bless somebody closer to you because he wants you to use that person for a specific mission. But you think that you deserve it more than the other person. And it leads to evil or sinful speech, because you start saying things that are not true. Maybe, oh, that person paid money before he got to that place. That person did this and that before he gets to that place. So out of your pride, your speech may not glorify God. Then also, another thing that God hates, or the Lord hates, is a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Some of us find delight in telling lies. And for some people, it has become a demon in them. There is no way they will say something that will glorify God in everything. They think that, oh, they deserve it, they did it. Things that they have never seen or they have never heard, they formulate stories and put it across. Hands that shed innocent blood. This may not be directly related to speech, but the position or the behavior of some people, or the word that comes out from some people's mouth, will cause another person to commit this offense. Back in school, in undergrad, I was very close with this guy, and I see everything about him as good. Until one day, somebody else came to me and told me something negative about the other person. So it makes me to start observing the person. And along the line, I realized that, oh, it's true. What the person was saying is true. But because I never heard from anywhere, I never thought about it. I always look at the person with a positive and a clear eye and mind. But once somebody has polluted or has said something negative about that person to me, then I started paying attention, close attention to the person. And at the end of the day, I realized that even when I was very close with a person, without the third party coming in, the person was doing all those things. But because no speech from anywhere or no word from anywhere got to me that this person is not who I think, I continued taking him as the right person. So if something happens and I have to harm that person, it is somebody's speech, somebody's envious speech that has caused me to change toward that particular person. And we pray for grace that no matter what other people tell us, let's remain focused and let's always see the person with the loving eyes and heart. if you think what they say about the person will hurt you, it's better you talk to the person or you call the person in front of an elder or somebody that he can listen to very well in order to put all those things to rest. Maybe the person also might not know that what he's doing is affecting others negatively. We need to draw each other's attention. One thing is, most of the sermons that are being preached from the altar are like a refresher course to some people. But to others, it is like they are hearing it for the first time. It is like they are trying to grab it and model their life accordingly. So one thing I would encourage us to do is, those of us who are already matured in the faith, we can try our possible best to carry those new in the faith so that together we will reach there. It will help us to polish our speeches. And there is a class, discipleship class, being held by Brother Stephen. They have mentorship and mentees, those matured in the speech and those new converts, to work together and grow in the faith. That is just by the way. Now, another one is a heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. This one is very serious and very deep. A false witness and still speaking lies. Because a false witness is already evil. Adding lies to it is something that we should try to avoid. And one who sows seed of discord among brothers. And that one also is out of envy. Some of us are so envious that we always want to bring the other people down. We always want to make sure that that person should not get to that position. And the moment they get there, for us, no, we have to do everything to bring them down. We start going around saying evil things about the people. It is easier to go out there and make some of these sinful speeches than to correct them. It is easier to go out there and make some of these evil speeches than to correct them. There is an issue where a member of a church went around sharing false information about another member of the church. And the issue became so serious that the one affected reported the issue to the pastor of the church. Then the pastor called both of them, and the only thing the other person was saying was, "I'm sorry." So the pastor said, "It is easier to say I am sorry than to go out there to correct the evil speech or the envious words that you put in the ears of others." And he made an illustration. He asked the person to go and pluck feathers of a fowl and bring it to church. So when he brought it to church, what he did was he asked him to go out there and spread it. But before you spread it, try to count them. After the person finished counting them, he went out and spread it. Then less than 5 minutes, the pastor asked him to go back and pick them. He went back, he picked them, He brought them, but the number was not the same as those that he spread. Then the pastor asked him, what happened to the others? And he said, maybe they got under some buildings or in the tons, or some flew away and he could only gather this few. And the pastor told him that that is the effect of the message that you have just passed. You think you can go back to the people and tell them, oh, this thing that I said about this person was a lie. You can do that one, but not to all the people. Somebody heard it and spread it to other people. You can only get to the person who heard it directly from you, but the one who went away with it, you can't go and bring it back. So the best thing is, don't just do it. We should try our possible best not to do it. But it is not that easy. When Jesus was with the judge that night, our brother Peter was there. And according to the Gospel of Matthew, it says that when he was there, people were coming and were identifying him as being part of Jesus' team, and he denied it. Then also, they said one thing that betrayed him was his speech. Let's read it. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. But when you look at the King James Version, it says that, but your speech betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on him and to swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately, a rooster crowed. Because this is a prophecy, Jesus told him that before a rooster crows, you deny me three times. And he said, never in my life. But it happened. It is, we are not looking at how it happened, but what we are looking at here is how your speech can betray you. Sometimes it's just the difference in dialect, but sometimes it might be something that you have said elsewhere and it is coming back to haunt you. But Peter went to the extent of even swearing, something that God said we should not do, and even cursing. So most of the time when you are in a situation of frustration or you are frustrated, you even forget about the norms and you start doing the abnormals. So it is always the best to try to keep our mouth closed. You get to that portion. Now, most of us here are teachers. Some of us are leaders. And even some of the speeches that we put across to the children, to our fellows, do not glorify God. Sometimes we may think, oh, there's nothing wrong about it. There is this Sunday school teacher who one morning just woke up, got a wheelbarrow, collected all the rotten apples, every waste from his house, and went to the neighbor's house and was ready to dump it on the neighbor's neatly clean and trimmed lawn. Then the neighbor asked him, I hope everything is okay with you. He said, oh yeah, everything is right. Then he said, but why are you coming here with this? Looking at this lawn and what you are bringing, they don't match. Then he said, yes, I know, before I brought them. They said, no, but this is not the place to dump them. You can go outside and dump them. Then the Sunday school teacher told him that, I'm very happy you know that dirty things should not be on a clean ground or place. But just yesterday, I saw you dumping your refuge on the clean lawn that I finished making. Then he said, no, I never did that. He said, yesterday I saw you talking to some young guys outside. And two of them are part of my Sunday school. What happened was that you were polluting their mind. You were putting things that they should not hear at that stage in their mind. All the dirty things, you put them in their mind. And it is easier for me to dump these things here and later clean them and you still have your clean and neat lawn than you going back to those people and try to pick the dirty talks that you have just left in their mind. So the guy became sorry. And truly, there is no way he would have gone there, tell them, oh, whatever I told you is wrong, just forget about it. There are some of them who take it up and continue their life with it. And it is going to affect them for the rest of their lives. So anytime we have the opportunity to talk to people, let's try our possible best to put the best in their hearts. Because years to come, that word will still ring in their eyes. It will still be in their mind. And if any of them is already a wayward person, he'll just continue on that path. Even those that were in the Sunday school or those who were brought up very well will also take part of it, maybe just to try it because they were teenagers. Now, how many of us here have said something and later on regretted that they have said it? I am one of them, even with my wife. Sometimes I say some words and later on I regretted it. And even though I go back to say sorry, but the words has left a scar in her heart. She may tell you that she has forgiven you, but maybe 4 years later, you do something similar, they bring it back. That you did this 4 years ago, I forgive you, you are doing the same thing. So, this is something that happens to all of us. The Bible told us not to, but sometimes, or most of the time, we fall to it. So, from this part, we will try to look at how best we can deal with some of these things that we have established. Gossiping, slandering, foul speeches, evil speeches, and things that comes from our mouth, or things that our tongues releases, and later on we regret them. And in one of my preachings, I said that the tongue is the most powerful part of the body. And it controls everything about your body. Your health is even controlled by your tongue. How many of us have visited Chinese traditional medicine doctors? When you go there, as they are taking your pulse, they will ask you to bring out your tongue. Then they examine your tongue and they start telling you what is wrong with you. The first time I thought it was magic. Seriously, I thought it was magic. Then I went to another place again. They did similar thing. So even the Bible tells us to be very careful about how we use our tongues. Now, the first one is we should first of all try to control our emotions and to keep our mouth shut, especially when you are frustrated. It is easier to release evil words than when you are happy. So, Proverbs tells us that whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silence is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he deems intelligent. Sometimes out of frustration, out of anger, we say things that we later on regret. So the best way to deal with some of these evil speeches or foul words that comes from our mouth is to control our emotions. Sometimes when something happens and you are so annoyed, so angry, it's better not to talk at that particular moment. Because mostly any words that come out at that particular moment carry some weight, which the other person might not have the heart to receive or to accept. And it causes trouble. The same word that you might have said outside that circumstance, and the person will take it as a joke, will be the same word when you say it in a heated argument, the person will be offended. So Proverbs is telling us that to control our spirit and to be silent in order to avoid some of these speeches coming from us. Then we should also learn to be silent when we have nothing to say. And James 1:19 reads that, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger," slow to speak. So if you know you don't know what to say at that particular moment, just keep quiet, reflect on the situation, and you can speak later on. Because sometimes situation will make even our mind and our brain not to function very well because of the circumstances we find ourselves. Then next, we need prayer about our speech. And Proverbs 18:10, it doesn't matter if it is about your speech or about your entire life. Once you remember this Bible verse, it will always put you on the right path. The name of the Lord is strong; is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. No matter what difficulty you are facing, remember that the name of the Lord is there for you. Run to the Lord, and you shall be safe. And so Psalms is saying that, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So you pray to God that he should just keep your mouth shut so that you not release any atomic bomb from your mouth. Because mostly, you that is releasing the word, you think that it's normal. Or at that particular time, you are not within yourself, you release it. But it is the person receiving it that feels the impact. And some people retaliate on the spot, but others, out of wisdom and out of the grace of God that is upon them, they will keep silent, allow the situation to cool down, allow your spirit to cool, and then they can speak about it. But not everybody has this grace. So let's help ourselves and others not to put others into temptation with our speeches. Then avoid getting involved when others are spreading slander. So there are some people who have delight in spreading false information, talking evil about others. What do we do? Do we involve or do we add ourselves up and also bring things that we don't know about the person or we don't understand? And Ephesians 5:11 tells us that take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And the word expose them here doesn't mean that we should expose them to the world, we should expose them to the authorities, but we expose them to the light. Because they are in the darkness. They don't know what they are doing. And light and darkness never match. Once the light comes, darkness disappears. And as they are in the darkness, we expose them to the light. And those things that, the powers of darkness that were working in them shall disappear. And the last one is we should try to know where and how to crack jokes. We are from different cultures. And in Africa, especially in Ghana, teasing and cracking jokes is something normal. And sometimes they can sit you down, tease you until you cry, but you will not stop. You keep on teasing you. But in other countries, that is not acceptable. And as Christians, we have to understand each other's culture. Even though we all have one culture in Christ, our level of Christianity are not the same. Somebody can say something to me, and I will just laugh over it. But the same thing can be said to another person, and the person will not take it lightly. So we should know our limits, where to crack jokes, and where not to crack jokes. And sometimes too, in course of cracking jokes or teasing, the other party will be seriously hurt. And he can even act in a way that you who are cracking the joke will live to regret it. So if we want to deal with sinful speeches, these are some 5 points that I put together. There are more than these ones, but because of time, these are what I am able to put together and share with us. Now, it is almost time, But I want us to take some few things home as my conclusion. Now, the first one is, let not our tongue run before our mind. Most of the time, when some of these things happen, we blame the tongue. And some of us just say, oh, it's a slip of tongue. We don't know whether the tongue was walking before he slipped and fell. But it is we who fail to control it before the tongue slipped. It is better to speak too little than too much. We have two ears, but only one tongue. That means we think twice before we speak. Then also, the tongue is capable of great destruction. If we can control our tongue, we can control all areas of our lives. That is something that James said in his third chapter. Then we have to remember the word of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, that on the judgment day, every word that we spoke will be accounted for. So we should be mindful of the words that will be coming from us. And finally, let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Let our speech be seasoned with grace, so that in our answers, we will not say anything that will leave scar in the heart of others. Thank you so much. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you once more for this opportunity to hear your word. We pray that, Father, help us to always control our speeches, to always control our tongue in every situation, and to always pray for others who are in the same situation, that, Father, together we shall grow and mature in our speech and to inherit together your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The music team will give us the blessing, and we shall be dismissed. Shall we rise?
Bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
One more time.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
You guys are dismissed.